Josh Cooper joins us. Josh, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
We'll get to Stoll in a second, but I just want to ask you, of course, you covered the Nashville beat for a long time. What do you make of Cody Franson not being signed?
I think that the trade to Nashville was probably the worst thing that's happened to his career. I mean, you look at what's gone on, and it's just, I mean, I always liked him. I think he's a really good player. He didn't quite fit in Peter Laviolette's system, or something else was going on there, and now all of a sudden he's strangely unsignable, which is really odd for me because I've always admired his game. I've always thought that he's a very mobile guy for a big guy. Tremendous snapshot, really good offensive instincts. Was actually having a really good year with Toronto before the trade, and then that happened and everything's kind of fallen off. So I look at it and I just kind of say to myself, I scratch my head and say to myself, ah, poor Cody Franson, because this really stinks for him. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah, definitely it does. Although I still think it's more, from what I've talked to, it's more about, you know, teams being hesitant to sign him to the long-term deal that he wants. I think teams definitely feel he's an NHL defenseman, but they're hesitant maybe to give him the $4 million-plus he wants on a longer-term deal.
I think he deserves it, though. I look at the types of numbers he's put up, the systems he's played, how bad Toronto's been and how good he's been on a bad Toronto team. Then I look at the type of money and years that Francois Beauchemin got with the Colorado Avalanche. Now, granted, it's the Colorado Avalanche, and they do a lot of weird things that make no sense. But I look at that, and I just wonder why Cody Franson doesn't at least look at that, or why teams don't look at that as at least a framework for him, just because he's younger, he has more years to him. I mean, maybe he's just unsignable. I mean, I just remember when he was in Nashville, he had trouble coming to terms there, And then obviously in Toronto, he's had some trouble coming to terms. So, you know, maybe he's just had some trouble with that. But I just look at some of these contracts that have been given out, not only this summer, but previous summer too, with Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen. And I'm thinking, Cody Franson's at least worth $4 million over 4 years. Come on. I mean, it's just a bizarre thing that he still hasn't signed yet.
So which team, like the Boston Bruins to me seem like an obvious destination with them losing Hamilton. See anybody else as an obvious place where he'd go?
Just Boston, to me, it seems right now. I don't know where else he could possibly end up. I mean, maybe go back to Toronto. I mean, he's always talked about how he liked playing in Toronto, but I don't really see that happening, especially with Lou Lamoriello as the GM now. So, I mean, but then again, with Lou as the GM, anything is humanly possible in this day and age. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it seems like Boston has been the team that's been mentioned as the number one suitor in the Cody Franson sweepstakes, and I have no reason to believe that they're not still number one.
Talking NHL with Josh Cooper from Yahoo, the Puck Daddy blog. Jarrett Stoll today did have a teleconference, and you know, a lot of the questions seem more about obviously the off ice thing than it had to do with what he's going to do as a player.
Yeah, it absolutely was, and it was interesting just because you don't see a guy who signed for 1 year, $800,000, get his own teleconference in the middle of the summer, and you don't ever really hear the GM come on said teleconference for the player who got 1 year, $800,000. But I mean, Jarrett Stoll's a hot button issue right now. I mean, not just with how, basically just with how he left the Kings and, not left the Kings, but his situation in Las Vegas and the heavy role he played in Los Angeles. I think obviously the fact that he's dating Aaron Andrews does play a bit of a role in how big a name he is. And, he was very contrite in his past. He defended himself as a person, defended himself as a player, and I mean, wooed me in the press conference, or I guess teleconference, sounded like someone who's been through a lot and come out on the other side and is looking for another chance. So listening to him, I think that, and just kind of also what I've heard around the league about him from just other guys who know him and managers who know him, is just that he's a good guy who made a dumb decision, and he's kind of paid the piper for it and deserves another shot. So this is probably his last chance, I would assume, depending on how he does in this contract. I mean, he still has something to give in the NHL. He's a good face-off guy. You can always use someone like that in the playoffs. Rangers are looking to be a contending team. And if it doesn't work out for him, then they've shown no apprehension in just stashing guys in the minors and until they either get bought out or retire. So I wouldn't be shocked if that happens as well.
Looking at the Rangers' depth chart, you've got Brassard and you've got Derek Stepan. You've got Dominic Moore as three centers. JT Miller plays there a little bit. He's more of a winger. Even Kevin Hayes took a fair amount of faceoff. Do you see Hayes moving to the wing and then Stoll slotting in as their fourth center?
Yeah, I do see that. And there are really worse options to have in the league. And Jared Stoll is your fourth-line center. He'd be a really good fourth-line center on pretty much any team. He'd be a great fourth-line center on a Stanley Cup team. And I think in that regard, it's a very low-risk signing. I think the risk comes in not so much as to him potentially kind of being a bad guy to young players because he was arrested for cocaine, but more along the lines of he's a guy who's going to create a distraction because of what happened to him. And you kind of saw with some of the headlines that were posted already today with talking about him and cocaine and Aaron Andrews and all sorts of weird stuff for search engine optimization hits. So I think that's the risk with him. But yeah, I mean, to sort of get back to answering your question, I do see him as a fourth line center, as a real face-off specialist. And I think that that's something that teams really need in this day and age. And you kind of saw what happened with the Blackhawks this playoff with Antoine Vermette being their sort of third, fourth line face-off specialist, and he worked wonders for them. So I think that Stoll can kind of play that role for the Rangers and sort of revitalize career, rejuvenate himself, and kind of search for a new image and move forward here. And you know, with the Rangers, they get a really heady two-way guy who won two Stanley Cups.
Josh Cooper joins us. Josh, when you look at the remaining free agents, I know we talked about Cody Franson off the top. Who else is the most intriguing one for you who's yet to sign?
I still think it's Cody Franson. He's really the only guy I can think of that is yet to sign. I mean, maybe you could throw Mike Richards in there. I don't really know who else. I mean, I'd say Cody Franson. I mean, it was such a weak class, and I'm just staring at it right now. It's still a really, really weak class, and you're going to be looking at just teams looking to fill really small holes right now.
Do you think Franson's a guaranteed, proven better player than Christian Ehrhoff?
That's a really good question. I think from the length of their career and what they've done, no. But I think that as far as potential and what they can give you in the next 3 to 4 years, I'd say yes, just because I never thought, only a couple times in his career, and I've watched Cody Franson pretty closely throughout his career just because watching him in Nashville, kind of keeping up with him in Toronto, only a couple times I really thought he was utilized correctly. And I think that wherever he goes next, if they use him the right way, he could be an incredibly effective player. But they have to do that. So I think as far as body of work goes, right now, no. But I think over the next 4 years, Franson has more potential than Ehrhoff, without question.
Curtis Glencross, you talked earlier about Franson and going to Nashville might, you know, really hurt him. Well, Curtis Glencross going to Washington and really doing nothing, that seems to obviously have hurt him somewhat in free agency as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who I liked an awful lot in Calgary and obviously went to Washington. And not a whole lot happened there. And that happens with guys. I mean, they go places and they, they just don't, it doesn't really work out for them. And it's kind of a systematic thing. And then it really hurts them moving forward. So, I mean, I like Glencross a lot when he was in Calgary. Again, I thought he was a really solid player for the Flames. And now just another guy who's having trouble latching on somewhere just because of how things didn't work out the way he hoped to in another place when during a deadline trade.
Now that the offseason is pretty much done, there's a few signings left. Which teams would you say have improved their chance, A, to win the Stanley Cup, and then B, which teams do you think have improved their chance to make the playoffs who weren't there last year?
Well, I have to say the team that increased its chance to win the Stanley Cup, in my mind, is the Washington Capitals. I mean, you look at the moves they made, bringing in Justin Williams, bringing in TJ Oshie, getting some guys under contract for not break the bank money, like Braden Holtby. I really like how they look. I think that they're vastly improved. I think that the Flames are also really improved. Sorry to say that on an Edmonton radio station, but I think that, I don't know if they're Stanley Cup contending worthy, but I think that they're definitely looking to make that next step and kind of improve on what they did last season. Teams that are going to be out of the playoffs next season, in my mind, without question, the Boston Bruins. I don't know what they're doing. I have absolutely no clue how they've managed this offseason. I know that there's there's a plan there. I know that they've had to shed some salary, but I liked, for example, what the Blackhawks did, who were kind of in a similar spot of getting rid of guys who they had to get rid of from the salary cap perspective and bringing in people who have actually played in the NHL and trying to put them on the roster and make them fit. Whereas with the Bruins, they've just gone total rebuild off a team that really didn't need to do that. And I don't really see them contending at all next year, even if they do get Cody Franson. So I would really, if I'm a Boston fan, I would not be super thrilled about what my team did this summer.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Well, the Hamilton trade's, for me, one of the worst trades in the last decade in the National Hockey League, to trade a young defenseman who is clearly a top four defenseman, likely closer to number three or number two at this point in his career, and might become a number one very soon, for three draft picks is mind-blowingly stupid.
And he's got great size too. I mean, he's not a little guy. I mean, he is what you look for in a big cornerstone defenseman. And I didn't get that trade at all. And just to get draft picks for, just in my mind, just getting draft picks for, and not just draft picks, we're talking low draft picks for an NHL player, a guy who has made the league and shown he can be productive in the league, is just, it's just not good. So, I mean, between that and essentially, I mean, giving Matt Beleski, what is it, 5 years I think they gave Matt Beleski or something like that? I mean, the guy had one 20-goal season, and he's a guy they're bringing in to essentially replace Milan Lucic. I know he's cheaper, but I didn't understand that at all. Just, I mean, people kind of rip Peter Chiarelli's tenure there for some reasons, and I understand to some degree because of the Tyler Seguin deal, but I mean, that Beleski contract, to me, I don't understand at all. I think that's going to really bite them.
No argument for me. Josh, we appreciate the rundown. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, Jason.